I really emerged into, I stopped building radios and I became deeply involved in transmission, antenna and shortwave transmission. In short, I became involved, instead of listening to things, I became involved in transmitting things, building transmitters and building highly involved and complex amateur radio equipment that involved such things as Class B linear modulation and so on, all the way to this. You know, I don't want to start talking Greek to you, but it was a highly complex thing that I was involved in. Well, at about the age of 13, suddenly I looked around and I could see a world that was so complex, so infinitely exciting, so tremendously enticing, that there's no other way to say it except to say that probably the only thing that comes near to that is one of the basic human drives that is spelled with three simple letters. Isn't that true, Ed? When you get involved in a thing like this, I don't think women quite understand this. I have met very few women who are really that involved in the wild adventure of dealing with a combination of equipment, technique, abstraction, theory, and finally, let's say, total actuality. That to carry through this wildly involving and interesting thing where you built and designed a thing and created it and earned it and worked on it, got licensed to do it, and then one day was talking to somebody in Madrid with it. I mean, I can't express it. I really can't express it to you. It's like a guy probably writing his novel and it finally happens. Well, there were a lot of things, and I remember there was a teacher in high school. I don't know why I'm discussing this except to say that there's a great split between two sides of us. One side is the side that in a way can't even comprehend or deal with the daily problems. Like I would get tired thinking of just shoveling the ashes out. Whereas, if on the other hand, I was contemplating cutting a transformer hole for a Thor Darson power transformer in a solid steel base that would take me 6 weeks hacking away with a chisel, cutting my hand off, going, 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 and trying to drill it with ice picks, nothing would stop me. Absolutely nothing. So you know, it's a difficult thing to do. So I remember this finally came to a head. I have gotten myself licensed. Well, now there was another license that went beyond the license, and that was what they used to call the Class A license. Now the Class A license was like getting your PhD in the amateur radio world. And it was a very difficult exam at that time to pass. And it was an exam that sort of put a guy on a plane beyond, it's like, you know, becoming the general or something like that. And it involved one simple question. And I will tell you what the question was, which will not mean much to you. The question was, one question that they would ask all applicants for this, you had to diagram completely a complete transmitter, including antenna system, including values, including the modulation system, that means all the audio system that you have here, including, in some cases, they would even ask for waveforms at various points in the circuit. And you would have to, in short, draw a complete schematic diagram of a total transmitter, like WOR here, roughly, would be almost the equivalent of. Well, now that's quite an achievement for a 20-year-old kid. I can only say that it is. So I didn't think of it as that way, though. It was like a pyramid. Maybe perhaps this is how I've come to have some knowledge of nuttiness that takes over. When you are driven by forces over which you have little or no control, it was like a whirlwind was going through my life, literally. And so I am working on this thing, and by now my family, it is as though my family is living with suddenly somehow a person who is speaking for some reason Sanskrit, and everybody else is talking Hammond, Indiana English, and they're like, get the hot dogs out, will ya? And I'm down there trying to work on this Class B modulation system, and so I went up to the old post office building in Chicago to get my Class A exam, and I at this point, nobody knows in my family why I'm studying so hard. I'm already ham, you know, I'm already on the air. What is this, all this stuff? And I kept saying Class A, Class A. and they didn't know. Well, I went up to take the examination, and they gave me the sealed envelope, and I opened it up, and I'm this little 14-year-old squirt, you know, and I open the thing up, and there it is. The first question says, please diagram with circuit values and with waveforms on the final plate, waveforms on the final plate, also waveforms on the driver grid stages. Diagram completely a push-pull RF transmitter utilizing a doubler buffer, tri-tet oscillator, class B linear modulation with all driver stages, and also a 866 dual half-wave rectifier power supply. Well, okay, so I sat down there, and I worked, and they give you a big sheet of paper, and I'm working this thing out. You know, beautiful lines, yeah, but lay this thing out. It's just like a work of art, you know. And boy, when I would draw a triode, push-pull triode stage, you know, oh, man, it was like a work, like Jackson Pollock, you know, just everything beautiful down there. A coil just laid in there, and a transformer just stood there and shimmered. You could almost feel the reluctance in that thing. So I just draw this thing all up. Then the next question, a question about auto relay stuff, and a lot of questions about modulation, and I'm breezing through this thing. And it's funny for a kid at the age of 14 to feel at the very absolute peak of his power. You know what I mean? Really on top of it, Dad. And on top, these guys could have really, anything they could have asked me, I could have handled. I could have got it. And so I just whip through this thing, and I go through the Class A examination in probably, maybe an hour. And this is, you know, and I'm feeling gigantic, 14 feet tall. Well, I finish the Class A examination, and I come home, and I'm feeling fantastic. And it's a gigantic achievement, because here on all sides of me are grown men. Gray, bearded elders are sweating and throwing their pencils down. Hey, come over here. And the RI keeps coming over here, and they're trying to get out of the question. Now, look, I don't understand. What do you mean? What is this? I can't. What's the wording of this question? Old Shep is just sitting there. Let's see. Yeah, please. Yes, cathode follower circuit diagram. Of course, cathode follower. And I'm whipping away through this thing. Well, I get on. I have a budget. My yearly budget was roughly $7.25 for my entire yearly budget in those days. So I am riding the streetcar all the way back home, which is a 1,000-mile streetcar ride. It's like taking a streetcar roughly from here to Boston. So, it's that kind of streetcar. So I keep transferring streetcars. And I am looking at the rest of the people in the streetcar, these poor clods, these poor, simple toilers in the field. You know, here I am, Class A ham, W9QWN, W9QWN, Class A, 20-meter phone, the whole bit. So I'm in the elite. Really, I knew it. I was like suddenly elevated to the peerage, and nobody knew it. I'm sitting there looking around at all these people, and I'm beginning to feel more and more, because the terrible thing that licenses do to people, it makes them feel superior. It really does. It makes you feel like, you know, somehow you really, you know, you're different from other people. That's what also sheepskins do to people. Give them that little thing. Look out. Well, I'm riding the streetcar. I finally get off the streetcar, and I'm trudging on my way home, and I get home and walk in the house, and my mother says, well, how'd you do? You've been gone all day. I said, very good, very good. Of course, they don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just swaggering around. I get out 40 meters that night. Of course, I know that it's just a matter of time. It's going to come, Class A ticket. I'm on 40 CW, and my fist even improved. I'll tell you, I'm going 45. My bug was red hot that night, man. The next day, by an odd set of unfortunate circumstances, happened to be about 3 days before the end of the semester. It was right, and I'm reminded of it because I know a lot of kids are going back to school. Well, let me tell you what happened to old Shep. Remember, I am a freshman in high school. So the next day, I go back to school about 3 days before the examination, the time and all that. And I am feeling like I'm a real powerhouse now. And the Class A ham, and I go back, and I get into my home room. Little old sneaky, rotten Miss Snyder is sitting up there, this human Buddha, She is sitting up there, and I come in, and there is a list of guys on the board. There's about 19 names up there on the board. And who do you think? Yes, sir. It wasn't Abu Ben Adam. There was a name that led all the rest. There it is, Shepard. So I figured, you know, Shepard, so what? You know, I go sitting back. I sit down like this. I get on, and I'm sitting in the back there. Little old Miss Snyder starts whipping out the announcements. You know, there will be a freshman basketball game in the gym this afternoon against George Rogers Clark, and she's reading all the announcements. And I hope your children had a good time on your Christmas vacation. Blah blah blah. And by the way, the names on the board here, the following names, all these kids on the board, will tonight, right after eighth period, report to Mr. Rupp's office. Mr. Rupp. He was the Eichmann of Hammond High. Mr. Rupp. What? You know, and all of a sudden this is rotten thing. Well, I figured I'm in late, you know, something like that. So, all right, they get him late. Well, I arrived there with about 1,000 other guys, chicks, fat guys, everybody jostling. And old man Rupp is taking him one after the other. And he would take him into their office. You see, their office crew would take him in. He would lead them in. She would take him in. Miss Matson would take him into the office. And Rupp, you wouldn't see what happened. Rupp would talk to him, and you would see on the other side of the office where they let him out the other door, there would be this shaking, white, tottering figure would go reeling down the hall, racked with sobs, you know, and all of us, what the hell, you know, what's going on here? And there's a dead silence now among all the kids. I'm a Class A hand. Does he know who he's talking to? Does he know? Well, all I got to say is that when Miss Matson laid the hand, that bony hand, that icy bony hand on my shoulder and led me into Mr. Rupp, there is old Stoneface sitting there. Rupp says, Shepard, I don't have to tell you, I have a report here from Algebra 2, Mr. Pittenger. I have a report from Miss Reader in Biology. There is a report from Miss McCullough. Now, Miss McCullough says that you, for 3 straight weeks, have not turned in book reports. All I've got to say to you, Shepard, is this. You are not in grade school. You are in high school now, and either you do it or you don't. We are not here to play around. Mr. Rupp, what do you mean? Play around? What do you mean? I'm a Class A ham. I just passed my Class A. What do you mean play around? I have my pants worn to the bone. I'm probably the only kid in school that can do impedance for. I'm the only kid in school that knows about standing wave ratios. What are you talking about? Mr. Rupp, what do you know about the mu of an 807, huh? Mr. Rupp. Yeah. Well, Mr. Rupp had that cold, blue-eyed look of a guy, you know, who loves to hear the sound of a guillotine clattering. You know, somehow there are people who like to hear the sound of swords being sharpened and axes being honed and that. And he says, well, he says, I hope I don't see you here in about a week after the exams, because if I do, there's going to be trouble. We have what we call a probationary group. You are in the probationary group, Mr. Shepard. Probationary? What do you mean probationary? Me? I'm Class A. I'm a 20-meter fall. Probationary, for God's sake. What do you mean? Well, probationary, Mr. Shepard, means that if you do not get at least a C-plus average on your exams and get in all those book reports and that stuff that Mr. Pittenger is complaining about, I'm afraid that we are going to have to detain you, and we are going to have to detain me. Yeah, I presume most of you know what that means. They don't do that in schools anymore. I understand. That means you start right over with Algebra 1 again, and that all of last season was a feckless loss. Oh, boy. And I staggered out of there, and, you know, I'll tell you what it did to me. It did funny things to me. I got home. I ride the school bus home. I don't even hitchhike this time. I'm riding home. I'm shattered. And I get back home, and I go on the air. I try to get my hand, you know, I turn on my rig. I'm a 20-meter phone. And all of a sudden, I discover that all of these guys belonged on 20-meter phone that I'm talking to. Here's the superintendent of the Rolling Mill. Look, Charlie, right, a pair of T-40s in the final. And all I am is a phony, rotten little kid who had no business here at all. A phony, rotten, pimply-faced kid. And I'm not talking, well, I'm thinking of putting up an HAKB. All the while, there's the specter of Mr. Pittenger hiding behind the cretonne curtains looking at me. Miss H. McCullough, yeah. Her nickname was Hell on Wheels McCullough. And the other one, E. McCullough, her sister, was known succinctly as Elephant McCullough to the kids, you know. The two sisters in sin used to sit there, you know, these English teachers, and she was waiting for my book report on what? Ivanhoe, I'm reading Nielsen and Horn on you. Ivanhoe. It's. Can I tell you how hard it is to go from Kirchhoff's Law to Ivanhoe? I'm serious. Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? There's two kinds of worlds. Do you realize how it is to go to a problem in geography to identify shale, to talk about river meanders when you're dealing with standing wave ratios on a 600-ohm line? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, it was as though I was being forced to take part in this ridiculous, this Punch and Judy show. But there was no escape. And I'm sitting on the air that night trying to talk it out, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was no good. I lost. It was as though, how can I explain it? It was as though this had turned to ashes in my mouth. And on the other hand, going back to the geography book and going back to the arithmetic book and really starting to work on history, if ham radio was ashes, this stuff was old used tire patching. And so there it was. I was presented with this thing. And about a day and a half later, finally came the one little note in the wind. The one little note. It probably saved me from what it is. You know, what is it? I could have gone over the line. One little thing happened. I am down there at school, you know, and ham radio now is a kind of an anathema to me. And I was the only ham, by the way, in the entire school. So you can't comment, you know, you can't communicate with this. I was the only kid in school that had a ticket. And I was also one of about 150 guys out of a school of 3,000 who was on the probationary list, you know. So I had two distinctions. So I am walking down the hall one day, maybe about two or three days after this fantastic blow hit me, and I bent over. You know, kids can really bend over. I was bent over. Looking at the floor, I was a pariah. I knew I was rotten, absolutely rotten. And all these big, tall girls were walking past, these big, tall guys with their heads in the clouds who had stuck with geography and knew all about, you know, biology one was no problem. They knew all about the frogs, ovaries, the whole thing, you know. And there I am walking down there. You know, I want to forget. Well, suddenly a guy comes up to me, a teacher whom I did not even know. A blonde teacher, a kind of skinny guy, and he says, "Say, excuse me." I don't know where we go again. Oh, yeah, yes, sir, yes, sir. He says, I'm Mr. Matson, and I understand you're an amateur radio operator." Yeah. I didn't know whether I was going to get put on or not, you know. An amateur radio operator who is now averaging D- in biology. Yeah. "You know that I have tried to get a ham ticket for 5 years? Can you come to my house and help me out with code? Can you come to my house and help me out with code? I just can't get it. Can you? I just don't get it." And all of a sudden I began to groan. I looked at Matson, Mr. Matson, who, by the way, taught senior chemistry. Mr. Matson, here I'm this little nothing freshman. He was also the assistant coach on the football team. I says, "Why, of course, Mr. Matson. Of course, Mr. Matson." And that night, I am in Mr. Matson's house. I say, "Well, of course, when you're considering the tri-tet oscillator, Mr. Matson, you have to consider the fact the loss that you are going to accrue from using a crystal oscillator attempting to double from one frequency to the other."